All right, we welcome you back. We are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. The Gospel of Matthew. We finished up a series called Strong. And then last week we had missionary Brian Davis with us. That was a great message, great service. Prayed for people just for healing and other answers to prayer. I know of one salvation, a person that accepted Christ last week. So that was just a prayer praise out there. So if God answered your prayer, though, but let us know how God is working in your life and if he answers prayer, yeah, whether it's healing or just in provision, whatever the case may be. The next several messages are going to be geared towards Easter. As we have Easter approaching in about 35 days, I counted it out. I believe it's 35 days from today. Easter is April 16th. Palm Sunday is on the 9th. The extravaganza is on the 8th. So we have a lot of things going. Just what we're going to do here for Easter is we'll have the extravaganza on the 8th. So we will have sign-up sheets at the welcome table of places that you can minister in and serve in. So it's a little bit of a long process. We have to stuff the eggs, so we need to stuff eggs. It's a good time of fellowship. If you're stuck there by yourself, it's not too much fun. Unless you maybe you're watching reruns of something, you can do that. But it's a lot of fun if you you get somebody like Joe Carlson there and you're stuffing eggs, and you can have a good time. So when there's people there, it's a really fun time. So we have some opportunities there, and there's different opportunities. Some we're inviting Doan students to come and help. They need to get service hours in. So those are the Wednesday and Thursdays this week and next week from 8 to 9:30. Some of us will be there, as many of you want to be there. It's just a good opportunity to rub shoulders with some Doan students and maybe just talk about life. And maybe it'll lead to God, whatever. So those will be this week. And then Mary Beth is doing Fridays. And I believe at 7 o'clock, is that right, on Fridays? Yeah, 7 to 9 on Fridays, so right here, and you can come hang out. And if Mary Beth is there, it's always a fun time. I mean, she's just a crazy lady, I mean, in a good way. So, those will be on Friday nights, and then we also have, the Honor Society. I think they're wanting to help us out one night with the high school. So those are some opportunities there. And so we need people showing up for those. So we have those events coming up. And then on Easter itself, then we have a sunrise service on the 16th. So Tessa is going to be speaking for that, for the sunrise service. The weather permitting, but we'll be out back by the fire pit. We'll have the fire pit going. I need somebody to get the fire pit up and running. I won't name any names, but... CB, we'll see if CB is up for that again. So, he's looking at me. get the fire. Oh, okay, Chris, you've been volunteered. We'll get the fire going. About a half an hour service out there. I guess we need a worship leader for that too. I don't know, Denise, if you're up for that on the guitar. So that'll be sunrise, and then after that we have a breakfast. Men, it's kind of been our tradition here. We're trying to make it a tradition where the men do it, the breakfast. So we'll have a sign-up sheet where you can bring eggs and bacon and fruit. We need some fruit there, right? Okay. But the men, we'd like to get the guys in the kitchen and do some cooking that way. So we need griddles and... griddles and frying pans and things of that nature. So we'll have some sign-up sheets for that. But men, you kind of put that on your calendar. We need all men there just to get that food processed and cooked and put through. So, and then we'll have a service after that, just our normal celebration service. And maybe even we're going to share a little bit of what God is doing here over the next 35 days. And so as we get into the message, that'll make more sense. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And did everybody get one of these handouts? Raise your hand if you did not get one of the handouts. Aaron will get one to you. Everybody got a handout? Okay. Aaron, you can put the extras at the welcome table, but if you did not get one, you need these. I'm going to refer to these, okay, later on. A week and a half ago, we entered a season that is called what? Lent. Yes. It began on Ash Wednesday, a week and a half ago. And Lent is a 40-day period of time. It excludes Sundays. But it's a 40-day period of time. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, lecten, okay, which means, anybody know what it means? Something real spiritual. It means spring. All right? It means springs. But it comes from, Lent is usually an observation of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan and that was instrumental in launching him into his ministry. Okay, so that's why we're looking at Matthew chapter 4. The same passage is found in Luke chapter 4. It reads just a little bit different, but they're very, very close to the same thing. So Lent is seen as a time of repentance, of fasting, preparation for the coming of Easter. So using this 40-day period of time to prepare our hearts for what God wants to do in our lives. It's a time of self-examination and reflection. In the early church, Lent was a time to prepare new converts for baptism. And in that series we did, Searching for Sunday, we talked a little bit about that, just about baptism. But in the early church, and I mean in those first couple hundred years, they would use this time of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter, to disciple new converts, those that had accepted Christ. They'd go through discipleship programs. And then on Easter, at sunrise, they would be baptized in water. And then they would receive a white robe as they came out, representing our righteousness in Christ. So it was a big ceremony. And it was really, it really emphasized their commitment to Christ. Sometimes I think we don't make enough of that today, is just as far as that commitment we're making to Christ. Today, Christians for Lent, they focus on the relationship with God. Often they sometimes choose to give up something, right, for Lent. And I think the basis for that, I think, is... It's represented. It's supposed to be kind of like a fast, but a fast is specifically when you give up food, okay? Whether it is an absolute fast would be no food or water. So you can only probably do that for a maximum of 3 days. Esther, when she was seeking God's favor during that time where they were in exile and the government was going to destroy and annihilate the Jewish people, they went on an absolute fast, no food or water for 3 days, okay? And then we see other examples of fasting in Scripture, whether it's just food only. You still have water, okay, but you don't eat any food. That appears to be what Jesus did in his 40 days, that he had water, but he did not have any food for 40 days, okay? That's a long fast, okay? There's also other fasts, the Daniel fast, okay? So some of you, how many of you have done the Daniel fast? I think we've had several here. Some of them are doing the Daniel plan. Okay, the Daniel fast is just fruit and vegetables for 21 days and seeking God. So it's more than just, hey, I want to lose weight, but it is seeking God in this in the process and making it a spiritual moment in seeking God. So there are these opportunities that we can use and as preparation. But so Lent is usually seen as this time of preparation, of seeking God, repentance, reflection, and sometimes giving up things. And I think if you're going to give up things, I think that can be a good thing as long as you make it a spiritual experience. You know, one of the best things you could do is probably throw out the TV for those 40 days and see how your life is transformed. Just probably your anxiety level would drop. Probably your thought life would improve. I think even just with the news and things that we watch, I think it has an impact on our lives more than we realize. But I want us to look at the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to go back a little bit into chapter 3 to verse 13 and then through verse 2 of chapter 4. Let's bow our heads as we read from God's Word. Father, we just thank you for your Word this morning. We thank you that it is the Word of God. It is sharp, it is powerful, it is able to speak into our hearts and lives, Lord. It's able to penetrate and bring about righteousness in our lives. It's able to bring about transformation and renewal. And Father, we give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. When the time came for Jesus, he came to Galilee and to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do what is so that we can fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened. So there's two baptisms that take place here. There is his water baptism. And as he comes out of the water, the heavens open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. Okay, that is his Spirit baptism. So water baptism and Spirit baptism, all right there. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Verse 1 of chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. Luke says that Jesus left from his baptism, and he went in the fullness of the Spirit. So he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he goes from his water baptism experience in the fullness of the Spirit and goes into the wilderness or into the desert. Matthew says into the desert. Luke says that the Spirit led him in the wilderness or in the desert. So there's a slight difference there. But it was the Spirit that was leading him through this time. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. How many would be hungry? I think all of us would be. He was hungry. From this passage here, we see that after his baptism, he's led into this 40-day and 40-night fast. He's led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And I think there's three things that we can learn from Jesus' example as we look at preparing our hearts for Easter. I think too often growing up, Easter was the big service, right? You come to Easter, you dress up, ladies wear their hats, and their pastel clothes, and dress up the kids. It was a big event. You had somebody over, a time of fellowship, a good meal. But Easter is much more than that. It is a celebration. But I believe that God can do something in our heart and our life as we prepare for it. Basically, you get out of Easter what you put into it. If it's just for you, a big service that you come and we celebrate and you go on your own way, I don't think God is going to accomplish much in your heart and life. You put into it, you get out of it what you put into it. All right? There's three things that I think we can learn from Jesus' example here in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. First of all, these times must be led by the Holy Spirit. I believe there is times where God wants to call us aside. So in the example of Jesus here, God the Father was pulling him aside for a 40-day period of time before he began his public ministry. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. What else did he need? According to God the Father, he needed this time in the wilderness. And we'll go more into that next week about what that accomplished in his life. But he is led by the Spirit of God into this time of preparation before he begins his public ministry. And I believe that there are times in our own life where God wants to pull us aside for maybe a day, for a weekend, or to accomplish something spiritual in our life through a period of time. And the first thing we see is that it has to be led by the Holy Spirit. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to go do this. Okay, I'm going to go on a 40-day fast, right? You have to, I think if you're going to go into a 40-day fast, you better be led by the Spirit of God, okay? Even if you do a 3-day fast or a week, 7-day fast. And those things need to be orchestrated that I sense that God is leading me into this experience to draw closer to Him. Maybe I need an answer to prayer. Maybe there's something that I want God to accomplish in my life or a healing in somebody else's life. Maybe I need deliverance from something in my life. And so I go, I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to be pulled away for this time of preparation to hear from God. It says that Jesus went into the wilderness because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't being led there to be punished, right? Right? He was being led there by the Holy Spirit for God to work in his life. There were souls to be saved. There was a lot of ministry to do, wasn't there? Demons to be cast out, people to be healed. And yet before all this craziness would happen in the life of Jesus, the Spirit pulls Jesus aside for 40 days in the wilderness to prepare for this moment of ministry. Have you ever heard the Spirit of God pulling you aside to hear from Him? Ever sensed that? Saying, man, yeah, you should set aside a day or some time just to hear from God. I've heard that. Yeah. Sometimes, but I said, but, you know, I got this, 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 and this to do. Aren't those important? Those are godly things that God has called me to do. And for Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, those are pretty important things, weren't they? And yet, this time of preparation was so important that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days before he began his ministry. And if it was so important for Jesus, how much more important it would be for you and I to listen to the Spirit of God when he says, hey, I want you to dedicate some time to following me, whether it's through, we're going to give a couple different opportunities or options that maybe God is speaking to you. Have you heard the Spirit of God calling you aside? Have you ever been to Honest Abe's in Lincoln to get a good burger? Maybe after you finish your Daniel fast. But you see the sign there, and it has Abraham Lincoln's, some of his quotes. And one of the quotes he is known for is, he goes, if I have 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. Sharpening my axe. You know, many times we go out there swinging and swinging and swinging, but we're swinging with a dull axe. Right? Man, we're working and we're sweating and think, man, this is tough work. And where maybe God is wanting to pull us aside before we go out and do the work of ministry, saying, I want to sharpen you so that you hear my voice, and so you're empowered by me and you're led by my Spirit. These times of preparation are like sharpening the axe, where God wants to hone us so that when we go out and do ministry for Him and be a light for Him, I think there's an easiness that comes with it because now the axe is sharp. These times must be led by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that God wants to pull us aside at times to speak to our heart and our life, to sharpen our axe, so to speak, so that when we are doing the work of ministry just in our day-to-day life, that we can be led by the Spirit of God, that we, one, hear His voice. Two is that that God's anointing and His Holy Spirit is flowing through our life. And that we're operating on His strength and not our own strength. Number two, these times need to be free of distraction. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a desert in my backyard or a wilderness. I wouldn't mind so much the forest or something like that. But I don't have a desert in my backyard. And there's probably not feasible for us in Nebraska to go out into the wilderness or into the desert, especially this time of year, right? But why did God the Father, by the Spirit, lead Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days? I mean, it's kind of nice to get away from things for an afternoon, a couple hours, right? Or maybe a day. 40 days, folks, is a long time, right? You think Jesus got bored? Yeah, maybe. But see, that those times are hard to do because we think about all the things that we need to do, right? All the things. The kids need that. Mom and dad need that. Work needs this. They say that when people go on sabbaticals, pastors have gone sabbaticals and stuff, it takes a good seven days before they can unplug or more. You can't just take a day off and say, hey, I'm unplugging. No, it usually takes 7 days to a month before they feel like they've kind of been able to remove themselves from the distractions and the demands so that they can replenish and hear from God. 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness to hear from God. He was away from all distractions. I believe that's why God led him into the wilderness, not to punish him, but just to remove all distractions. There was nobody else out there except for maybe a lizard or whatever the case may be. But it was free of distractions. And in there, Jesus could communicate with the Father. And I think we have to realize that even though Jesus was God's Son, he was operating as you and I would. He was human. He was God in the flesh. When he came to earth, he set aside his divine attributes to be all-powerful, to be all-knowing. And so when he was out there and he felt the hunger pains, he felt them just like you and I. And when he was on the cross and felt the nails in his hand, it would be just like you and I would feel that. He wasn't, because he was God, it didn't allow him to escape any of that. And so in the wilderness, he was free of distractions. And I don't know where that place is for you, but if God calls you aside, free of distractions, I know it's not easy. If you got kids, you know, you can't just say, hey, Sarah can't just say, hey, I'm checking out for 40 days, Adam, here's Grace, right? Or here's a bunch of food, Grace, take care of it. I'll see you in 40 days. Can't do that. When you're single, you can do that. When the kids are gone, you can do that. But God needs to, I believe he wants to call us aside at times just to be free of distractions so that we can hear from him. I think about Mary and Martha. And Jesus kind of isolates them in one moment. He went to their house on his journeys. The one day he came to Mary and Martha's house. They're sisters, right? And Martha liked to work, and she was the organized one. She liked to work, and so Jesus comes in. She's getting all the food and all the preparations, working away, getting the sweat. And now she's getting a little bit of a temper because why? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus instead of working, right? And so the blood begins to boil. And finally, she kind of says, "Whoo, you know, Jesus, here I'm working hard, and Mary isn't doing anything. She's sitting at your feet." And Martha kind of gets a valuable lesson because Jesus says, you know what? Mary has chosen what is best. What is best? You know what? We need to have a good work ethic. And usually in this part of the country, we have a very good work ethic, right? So much so that sometimes we don't know when to sit at the feet of Jesus. There's a balance there. There's a time to work, and when we work, we need to work hard. But there's also those times where we need to pull aside and hear from God and hear from him. And that is hard for me, folks. That's hard for me. Because you grow up in a culture where it's always about work, work, work. And it seems so unproductive to sit at the feet of Jesus. It seems so unproductive to be 40 days in the wilderness doing nothing in preparation for ministry, doesn't it? See, in our eyes, it doesn't make any sense. But we're sharpening that axe so that God can work in our heart and in our life. So when is the last time that you had time to get away without a distraction just to hear from God, whether it's for a couple hours or a day? The Spirit is calling you. You know, you have to work within your life and where you're at in life right now. But maybe God is calling you aside. The third thing that I see is that these times are for a set period of time. They're not indefinite, but they're for a set period of time. For Jesus, it was 40 days. A Daniel fast, I don't know if all of them are the same, but the books I've read are for 21 days. And I think if we sense that God is leading us, whether it's into a fast or just a personal retreat or a time away, that part of that process is just sensing what God is calling you to do. Maybe it's for a day or 3 days or 7 days, 21 days. That it's for a certain period of time. It's not forever. It's not indefinite. It's for a certain period of time. For Jesus, it was this 40 days. And if we sense God leading us into those times, we need to follow that and just sense His direction. Set some parameters and goals of this time that we want to spend with God. So, we have 35 days leading up to Easter. So you could do a daily devotional. I'm going to give you some options here. You could do a daily devotional if you go to the YouVersion Bible that has all the apps on your phone, on your smartphone, right? And they have a couple Lent devotionals, okay, so that you can follow a devotional reading for every day that has to do with Lent, okay, and what Jesus did for you on the cross, okay? So that is one option. You could just do a devotional reading that is part of that. You could maybe do a personal retreat or a fast, whether it's one meal a day or a day or 3 days. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I think that's where you need to hear from God, that maybe God wants to lead you into a deeper walk with Him. Now, today, I'm starting, I think most of you know that I'm enrolled in studies. So I finished up one class a week ago and jumping into the next one today. Okay? And this one is on spiritual formation and renewal. And so, in this process, it's not so much academic, but it's very much working on the soul, the spiritual side of a leader. And so for this next 8 weeks, I have several things, but I have to journal 5 out of the 7 days. I have to journal, and certain things that I have to journal. I have to take a personal retreat, a Lent retreat, okay, before Easter for a day. And then at the end of the class, usually we go and meet someplace at the beginning of class, but this one happens at the end of class, week 7. I go out to Virginia to a Presbyterian retreat center. It's on the edge of the George Washington Forest, Shenandoah Valley, I think there, just west, not quite 2 hours, kind of southwest of Washington, D.C. And I'm going to be there for a week, and there's some structure to it, but really there's not any a lot of homework or anything. Most of that's supposed to be done ahead of time. And so I'm kind of looking forward to it, and yet I'm kind of like, what am I going to do? I get to go hiking, though, so that's a good thing, all right? Because I just don't want to sit there. But it's going to end with that time. And we're going to share, and from the other students that have already taken this, they said this class has been the most beneficial class that they have taken through Regent University. So I'm looking forward to that, that time. But one of the things that I have to do, it's not a choice, but I'm looking forward to it, is the daily examine, okay? And this was, you all have a copy of it here, and this was a routine that was developed by Ignatius. Ignatius is an early church father in church history, and he developed what he called the daily examine, something that he would do before each day ended, okay? So I think it's meant to be done in the afternoon or evening. But he would reflect upon the past day, and he did 5 things. First of all, he would give thanks. He would look over the day. He was grateful. He wanted to be grateful for whatever good things that had happened throughout that day, okay? Big or small things. Whether it's the gift of marriage, that you had food to eat, whether you had a good commute to work, whatever the case may be, what are the things that you can be thankful for that day? And then he would write down to ask for the Spirit. So he would ask for the moments that he did not, just for the Spirit to fill him, do some soul searching and saying, hey, God, how can you work in my life, okay? And ask for the Spirit's help. 3 was to review and recognize failures, okay? What ways did I kind of miss the mark today? Okay, we all miss the mark, right? So to reflect upon, what ways did I miss the mark? What ways did I not hear from God? What ways did I give in to temptation? So to review and recognize failures. Number four is to ask for forgiveness and healing. So, whoo, okay, I sinned, but now I get forgiveness, right, and healing. So if I have sinned, to come before God and repent of those things, okay, and ask for wisdom, how I can navigate through those things better in the future. And the fifth thing is to pray about the next day, just to have that preparation of saying, God, help me in the next day that I can be led by your Spirit, that I can walk before you, that I can be a productive day where I honor you in all that I do. And so the author that writes this, he calls it the five R's to remember it. And so they are: relish the moments that went well and all the gifts that I have today. Two is request the Spirit to lead me through the review of the day. Three is review the day. Four is to repent of mistakes and failures. And five is to resolve in concrete ways to live tomorrow well. The daily examine. So I'm going to be doing this for the next 8 weeks. And as I was looking at Lent and just practical ways, I just want you to take some time to say, God, how are you leading and directing in my life? How can I make the most out of these 35 days where you can work in my heart and life in a special way, in a spiritual way, that I can grow, spiritually grow in this time leading up to Easter? So my goal is today is to create a Facebook group page where I can maybe do some journaling there. And if you want to take that journey with me, that you can also include your thoughts, maybe even have your own journal, but to do that. So I don't know if God is leading for that. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm inviting as many of you that want to do that, saying, let's go on this together. Let's do this daily examine together and see what in 35 days what God wants to accomplish in our lives. And what I thought would be cool is that on Easter is to allow some time for people to share what God has done in their life. I don't know if we can get everybody in, but if you're willing to take that journey, just to say, just allow some time for us to share what God has done in our life in those 35 days. Wouldn't that be cool? I just think it would be a great testimony, especially if we have other guests and visitors that come, just for people to testify what Christ has done in their life in the past 35 days. Because I think people are looking they're not looking necessarily for religion, are they? They're looking for a relationship with Christ. They're looking for something that's real, that works in their day-to-day life. And I think what a better way to do that is for us to share what Christ has done in their lives, in your life. Amen? So, there is no obligation, but if you would like to be part of that, I think it would be a cool thing. And maybe God is leading you into something else, but I think this is, if you're looking for a devotional plan or saying, hey, I need some kind of, for my private time with God, I need some kind of structure or routine, this would be a perfect way to do it. It just goes through all the different things. I think it even kind of maybe builds on Psalms 100, just to give thanks, to ask for the Spirit, to review our life, to ask for forgiveness and pray about the next day. How can you go wrong on that? How can you go wrong with that? And then to see what God does in our lives. Not only what he does internally in our life, but maybe what he does as we interact with the world around us. I'm going to have the musicians come. And Easter is a key celebration for us as Christians. We recognize Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, but also we celebrate the power over the grave, pointing to the hope that we have in Christ. It is a glorious truth that impacts our life. And by taking the next 35 days to prepare for Easter, I believe that God could reveal himself in our lives in a very powerful way. It could probably just blow our mind as to what God could do. I think too often we live our life and we live from moment to moment, right? Life is crazy. We got this coming, this coming, this coming. We just live from moment to moment. And we haven't taken time just to say, God, how have you blessed me this day? Thank you. What are the things that I'm thankful for? Big and small. Just to be led by God's Spirit and say, God, how have I lived this life, this day? By the leading of your Holy Spirit. What ways have I failed you, God? To ask for His forgiveness. And then to pray about the next day. Saying, God, I give you, allow me a good night's sleep, be rested so that tomorrow I can hit the ground running again, rejuvenated, empowered. Okay? Some of you, had to be drug out of bed this morning, huh? Right? Time change. But to wake up knowing we've prayed for the next day and that it's in God's hands. For Jesus, this 40 days, that word temptation can also be translated testing. It was a time of testing, but it was a time of preparation. We'll talk more about that next week. Some of the things that were resolved in his life as he began ministry may apply to our life as well. God can use these times to do much more than we can probably even think or imagine, to change our heart, to change our walk with God, and to change our impact in ministering for Him. I think many times we use a dull axe. We take a swing and we think, man, I just wasn't very effective. I'm not very effective at sharing my faith with other people. I'm not very effective in praying for other people that are sick or need healing. But many times we're swinging with a dull axe instead of an axe that's been sharpened. And that time, Jesus would go from there, and it says, immediately, let's read it together. Back up to Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 23. So he comes out of this time, he begins to preach, he picks his disciples. That's an important thing, right? Picks the 12. He just didn't roll the dice, but I believe he was led by the Spirit of God. And he didn't take the who's who of people out there. He didn't go to the recruiting tools out there that they do now for football and basketball, they all have them rated. He's 4-star. Can he be a 5-star? Is 4-star, he can be a 5-star recruit? Okay, the disciples weren't even on the recruiting list, folks, okay? They were out there fishing. They were tax collectors. They were not even on the recruiting list. And Jesus says, I want you. I want you. Come be fishers of men. But verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the news about Jesus spread over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill, various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, from the demon possessed, those with seizures, and those that were paralyzed. It's one thing to be healed of a headache, it's another thing to be healed of palsy, isn't it? And he healed them. And the crowds came, large crowds, and they followed him. See, these moments followed after the 40 days of Jesus preparing. Amen? Praise God. Would you stand with me this morning? Have Victor and Yolanda join me, and Josh and Karen, if you join me up front. If you need Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning, you need to invite Christ in your life. If you would find one of them and they would pray with you and just lead you in a prayer to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior this morning. If you have another need or request, you just need healing or need an answer to prayer, they will agree with you this morning. Here as the body of Christ to pray for them. Father, this morning, we have Easter coming, and in these coming days, Father, I believe that you want to make it more than just a celebration on Easter. It's a glorious moment in time. But I believe you're wanting to do some heart work within our church, within our congregation. And Father, I just pray that you would give us the ears to hear what the Spirit of God is leading us to. Whether it's just doing the daily examine every day and just journaling what God you're doing in our heart and our life. Or maybe you're wanting to do a personal retreat for a day or two or an afternoon. Or maybe you want to take us on a fast, God. I just pray that right now by your Spirit you would lead and direct in our hearts and lives, that you give us the Spirit of God to hear what you're leading us into. And Lord, that as we come to Easter, that you would, we can testify to what you've done in our hearts and our lives. You know, sometimes God is speaking to us, and we just keep going, going, going. Sometimes God just says, you know what? I'm going to make you sit for a while. I've had that happen a few times in my life. One time is when I hurt my back pretty significantly, and there I laid on the couch for several days in pain. But I believe God used that time as just a time of reflection, a time where God worked in my heart and life. The other time where God just gave me a day, I was in Jamaica. Teaching, it was my first missions trip, so it was in 2005. It was the year just prior to me coming here. Took a missions trip, and I believe it was like in, I don't know what it was, it was probably July, June or July, because it was just prior to coming here. We came here in August. Taught that week, it was 2 weeks that I taught. And in the first week, Hurricane Dennis came through. Okay, the end of the week, I was teaching in this Bible college, and the roof was leaking, and so the students had to move their desks so that they wouldn't get wet. Just pounding rain on a tin roof, so they couldn't hear me. We formed a circle, and I stood in the middle to teach so that they could hear me. So you're on an island, you can't run, so you're just stuck. So Hurricane Dennis came through, dropped a lot of rain, didn't hit the island. Made it through my first hurricane. Whew! Taught the second week. Got to Kingston. Supposed to fly out in the morning. Guess what? Hurricane Emily decided to come by. What the chances? Two hurricanes in 1 week. So Hurricane Emily comes. Dennis went to the north between Jamaica, went across Cuba, went north. Emily went to the south of the island. They flew all the planes off the island. I wasn't going anywhere. Supposed to fly out the next day. So that Saturday, supposed to fly home on a Saturday. That Saturday, I sat. But you know what? God provided a place for me to stay. I stayed with a couple. Their son attended our Sunday school class in Springfield, Missouri. And husband and wife, they both were from Jamaica, Kingston, and their parents both just lived a couple blocks away, but I stayed with his folks. And so there was nothing to do, folks. I mean, there was no TV, no radio, no cell coverage. I mean, that was 11 years ago. And it was just pouring rain, just pouring, just sheets of rain. And so that day, that Saturday, I think I just got to open my Bible, and I remember I read through several books of the Bible, and I just used that time just to allow God's Word, get God's Word into my heart and life, and just spent just reading God's Word. And I felt, as I've looked back on that moment, I believe it was just an important time where God just said, hey, I'm just giving you a day that it's just going to be you and me. There's no other distractions. And God just ministered into my heart and life. Gave me fresh fruit smoothies off the tree out back, oranges, and they had all sorts of trees. God took care of me. That's one of the things that I realized in the middle of the hurricane and the storm. God took care of me. And he even ministered to me in that time. sometimes the storms of life serve a purpose. Amen? Father, this morning as we go into our world this week, we start a new week. And I pray that you can work in our hearts and our lives. And Father, that we can hear your Spirit. I don't know how you want to work in each one's life. Each of our lives are different. But Lord, I honestly believe that you are speaking to each one here. And Father, I just pray you would give us the obedience just to listen to what you are speaking to us. And how we can make the most out of these next 35 days leading up to Easter. What spiritual things are you wanting to accomplish in our lives? Whether maybe you're wanting to deliver us from old habits. Maybe you're wanting just to us to draw deeper in your Spirit and to know your Spirit and maybe to be empowered by your Spirit. I don't know, but you're wanting to sharpen that axe, Father, as the body of Christ and as individuals. So, Father, I pray that you would just lead us by your Spirit. Make us into the people that you want us to be. We give you the thanks and the praise. Go with us this week in your power and your might. Let us be salt and light. We ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hey, good to have you at Radiant Springs Church here.